Welcome to Business Innovators Radio, featuring industry influencers and trendsetters sharing proven strategies to help you build a better life right now.
Welcome to Positive News Now. I'm your host, Gail Nowak. Today, our guest is Dr. Terrilyn Curry Avery, creator of Pastology, a cutting-edge field that focuses on the synergy between pastoring and psychology. Terrilyn's a pastologist, TEDx speaker, author of the book Sacred Intelligence, The Essence of Sacred, Selfish, and Shared Relationships, and host of Sacred Intelligence TV. Terrilyn is also an international retreat leader and facilitator of advanced therapy and workshops, who has been featured on Rust College Public Radio, Voice America, and the Peak Fearless podcast, to name a few. Her mission is to help heal religious wounds by teaching service providers, parents, and faith-based leaders to recognize the impact of these wounds on a personal level as well as in broader societal context. In her work, both as an ordained minister and licensed psychologist, Terrilyn has seen that although religion is a healing balm for some, it's often an instrument of wounding for others. Today, she's speaking with us about creating a more peaceful and compassionate world through the power of sacred intelligence. Welcome, Terrilyn.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
How about we start with you telling us a little bit more about sacred intelligence and what it is and how you use it to help the people that you help?
So sacred intelligence is really about our ability to tap into our own inner divine wisdom, our own sacred selves, in order to help us to really manifest the best in us, in order for us to help other people manifest the best in them. Because, you know, that saying, no man is an island or no person, and we're all here to be in community with one another, but we can't help one another unless we first learn how to help ourselves. And so for me, that's about tapping into this source that is within us that will help us to say, is this choice a choice that's going to be the best choice for me? Is it a choice that's going to help me to be thoughtful about manifesting my own greatness? And when we're able to tap into that sacred intelligence, it will help us to be thoughtful about what we do to ourselves, what we do to other people, and what we allow other people to do to us. And so when I work with individuals, I typically start by helping them to really learn how to tap into that inner divine wisdom that we all have.
Who exactly are you helping as your business has evolved over the years?
I do work with transformational leaders, and I also work with other individuals who might be solopreneurs or people who are just really looking to transition from one phase to the next phase. They're moving up to that next level. And often I work with people who already have a bit of spiritual insight, and it's really about helping them to go deeper into their spiritual connectedness. And in so doing, how do they use their faith to help them move into that next level of their lives? But I also have a really, really special interest in working with people who have been wounded by religion. And so I am evolving that part of my practice as well, because in my private practice, you know, as a therapist, I've run across so many people who have been wounded by religion. And I then started to see it even with the clients that I coached, that there'd be some religious wounds that were there as well. And folks had no idea how those wounds were impacting their growth in their business. And on a positive note, because it isn't just about the wounds of religion, but again, how does our faith help us as we're moving and transitioning into other phases of our lives? How do we be true to what our values are, and how do we display those in the way that we work with other folks? So it's continuing to evolve even as we speak.
So can you tell us a little bit more about specifically what those wounds can look like, either directly as a result of religious wounding, or, you know, I think we've talked about this before. We've all experienced some sort of trauma or wounding in our life, whether it's trauma with a big T or trauma with a small T. So how does that come up for the people that you work with? And do you see that there are certain patterns? Is it kind of the same type of wounding? Does it vary? Like, what's one of the biggest problems that you help your clients solve?
Yeah, that's really a great question too, because trauma looks the same, whether it's religious wounds or whether it's some other major trauma that we've had. The symptoms can actually mimic one another. But here's the thing about religious wounds that can happen. So I've worked with people where they've had the big trauma, as you said, trauma with a big T, versus the subtle trauma that people don't even recognize how it's impacting them. So some people, when they have grown up, and let me just pause to say that this isn't about bashing religion at all, because I am an ordained minister in a Presbyterian church, so I believe wholeheartedly in religion, in the sense of a faith community, and I believe in the religion doctrine of my faith, but at the same time, I'm open enough to expand that belief system and accept that other people have other belief systems. And so I just want to really be clear about that, because I think when we start to talk about wounds of religion, people think it's anti-religion, and it is not. But it really is about us taking a look at what are some ways that we've learned some things through our religions, our practices or doctrine that do not serve us. And then what are some ways that are just blatantly harmful? So, for example, I was talking actually to someone very recently who was an entrepreneur, and they specifically called me because they knew I worked with people who were wounded by religion, and said, I experienced a lot of trauma growing up. There were a lot of rules around religion for me. There were a lot of things that I was supposed to do or not do as a woman. And my family actually put limitations on me. And also there was a bit of emotional abuse associated with it as well, which led to being involved in relationships that were abusive as well, emotionally abusive. But what this individual said to me is that I find myself, even with the success that I've had, I'm always second guessing myself. I'm always doubting. I don't have enough confidence. And so when I engage with folks and I want to go to that next level, I'll think, I don't deserve this. I'm not supposed to have this. I'm supposed to be over here in this corner of the world. I don't measure up to these people. So there's a lack of self-confidence that happens with folks. There's a lot of guilt and shame that happens. And that could happen with trauma with a big T or trauma with a small T, as you said, because we don't know how subtly these things are just are deep down in the foundation, in the core of what we believe in. So I know that's a long way of answering the question that you ask, but it's really a complex answer, actually. I've also dealt with people who have had concerns about making a particular amount of money because they believe that, there's a scripture from the Christian belief that says that that it's very difficult for a rich man to enter into the gates of heaven, right? And some people will associate that then with, oh, I'm not supposed to make but so much money. Or there's a scripture that says the love of money is the root of all evil. And so some people say that as, oh, I'm not supposed to make a certain amount of money. Well, it says the love of money. It didn't say you couldn't make money, but it's really your mindset around that money. I've had to uncover a lot of that with people and let them see how it's impacting them from moving forward in their lives. And to add with that, the other piece is, when people have been wounded, sometimes they move away from the sacred. So a part of what I do when I work with people is to really help them to tap back into the sacred. And how do they learn to then go deeper into that relationship with the sacred and learn that they are divinely created and loved unconditionally. And really there's nothing that can separate them from that love. And so I want to help them to distinguish maybe some of the things that they've learned from that's kept them from tapping into that inner divine wisdom.
So what are some of the outcomes that your clients have experienced or achieved after, you know, looking at these issues and maybe not even thinking that they needed to look at these issues and having worked with you?
Well, it's really interesting. So if I could speak from the perspective of it's not just the ones who've been wounded by religion, but really the clients in general, just helping them to get through the hurdles of, you know, self-doubt and the hurdles of complacency, even, you know, stepping out into that next thing. Some of the results that I received, first and foremost, is just really clarity. And I know a lot of people talk about clarity in their coaching businesses and practices, but there's something to be said when you can deal with the human psyche and you can look at the clarity around how some of these issues develop. So I'm a little bit different than many sort of mindset coaches. I do work to help you with the mindset, but we go like really, really deep in terms of me giving them tools to help them to strengthen who they are as individuals. Because being a psychologist and a pastor, and I'm a cognitive behaviorist psychology, I was trained in that modality, I really look at a lot of mind shifts. And so some of the results I've seen is that people getting a lot of clarity in why they behave in the way they behave. I help them to look at how their emotions are tied into their decision making, and I help them to become more emotionally savvy. And once they can get rid of the emotion that's associated with their decision making and really learn to come from that place of inner wisdom, it results in really more freedom. And I keep going back to that word confidence, because when you are confident, you're confident in your decision making. So that when you're trying to decide, is this next move right for me? Your emotions aren't tied up in it. You're going to that grounding place to decide what your next step should be. So I've had individuals, in my time of working with them who decided to, for instance, I had one woman that I worked with just over a weekend retreat. And she said, when I leave this place, I'm going to put my hat in the ring to become a judge, because she was already a lawyer. And she emailed me some months later and she said, Terrilyn, I'm going to be confirmed as a judge on Wednesday. She said, I left your retreat just really inspired. And so she looked at what the fears were that were keeping her from moving forward. She looked at ways in which she could honor herself and allow her voice and her vision and her value to come forth. And so I've had several people to just move to that next level. Because, you know, I've worked with some high level people, and sometimes even as high level folks, you know, we can just become complacent and stay in our own little corners of the world. And so those have been some of the results. I've also worked with people who've gotten out of some really, really toxic relationships that they've been in as well. Because when we're in those relationships, they also keep us from manifesting our best selves in all aspects.
Yeah, and I would imagine, in particular, for business owners who are making thousands, it seems like thousands, maybe it's even more, but you're making decisions all day, every day for your business, mm-hmm. for your life. And I think in general, that's just kind of how society is because of the fast pace and everything. We all are sort of overwhelmed and taxed with needing to make decisions. So being able to slow down and mm-hmm. tap into that inner wisdom or that inner guidance, that inner knowing, that just must be a huge relief for your clients to be able to sort of settle into that and then start to see the results of, hey, I am making and I'm making decisions from within. And I'm making good decisions.
Yes, yes. And so one of the things that I talk to my clients about is really having a committed practice of connecting with their inner sacred source. So for me, just I talk about it in my book, that it's really important for us to honor our three types of relationships that we have. And I believe that's our relationship with the sacred, with ourselves, and with other people. And so I talk with individuals about what is that sacred practice going to be. It has to be something that will allow you to be able to hear the sacred voice, which dwells within us, and that's our inner sacred being, to be able to distinguish, is this me just wanting to do this, or is this really the sacred, you know, guiding me to do that? Is this really the universe opening up a path for me to do this, right? And I believe that the sacred wants what we want, as long as it is in line with the greater good of humanity. I just want to be clear about that, because again, that circle of I am because we are because, you know, I am. Everything that we do, while we should spend time, you know, taking care of ourselves and understanding who we are, it is for the greater good of society. So for my clients, it does feel really good when they are able to just tap into that source and have a committed practice that gives them clarity.
Here's some of the myths and misconceptions that you run into when you're talking about this idea of tapping into your inner wisdom, you know, having this relationship with the sacred and the selfish and the and shared relationships and how that all works together. How do people react to that?
So a couple of different ways. And I just want to just point out something when you say selfish, because that's in the title of my book and I know it's provocative. The selfish is really about taking care of yourself and learning when to say no and learning how to get rid of some relationships and things that are toxic for you and that doesn't allow you to manifest your greatness. So some of the things, though, that I run into in particular, you know, sometimes people think that they can separate who they are. They'll think that there's the spiritual self that's not connected with the professional self, for instance, and that what I do at work is what I do at work, but what I do at home is what I do at home. So they might have some spiritual practices that they engage in, but they don't often, for many people, they don't tie in their practices, their faith practice, or their beliefs into how they practice their daily walk. And so sometimes it takes a moment for me to show people how those two things overlap with one another. And so sometimes what happens as well, when there's a disconnect, then people begin to limit their thinking of how the sacred shows up in their lives. They also limit how they interact with other people on a business level because they have their own spiritual beliefs and practices almost in this cocoon. And so they aren't able to see other people's religious practices or spiritual practices and honor those things. And so then there's this myth that, you know, my practice or my beliefs are better than your beliefs. And so when we do that, and when we start to place ourselves above other people, we don't see our shared humanity. In fact, we don't even see how a lot of our practices and beliefs are the same because we're so busy fighting one another. And so that shows up in the way that we are as professionals, shows up in the way that we interact, because we have these subtle beliefs, these implicit biases and beliefs that we carry into our interactions with others, and we don't even recognize it. It comes out in the way that the people that we decide that we're going to approach to do work with, you know, there's certain groups of people we'll make judgments about. And so some of the thinking around our hierarchy of religion or spiritual practices gets us into trouble spiritually, professionally, I'm sorry. The other thing is, sometimes people have this myth or thought that if I take my practices into my professional career or beliefs, that somehow people are going to think they're soft and that they're just woo-woo. I've heard it a lot of times, you know, especially with entrepreneurs, that they're like, oh, that's just woo-woo-woo. That's just heart-centered stuff. I don't really need that to make my business go forward. And nothing could be farther from the truth, because for me, our grounding in who we are, our sacred selves, that is really the catalyst that helps us do anything that we're doing in life. And so it helps us to be in alignment with who we are and our values, because often when I work with people and they're making decisions about something professionally, I'll say, is that in alignment with the essence of who you are, or are you just jumping on the bandwagon because that's what everyone else is doing? And so I really kind of help people stay focused with who they are and their core beliefs and how those can help them as they're going forward. And so the other real quick thing that I want to say is that I think on some level, when we have these thoughts about expanding our spiritual consciousness and who we believe the sacred is, we somehow think we're compromising our core beliefs. And what I say to people, because I expand my beliefs all the time and I connect with people who have other practices than I do, it doesn't compromise who I am as a Christian at all, because I don't feel threatened by who they are, what they think, and what they believe, but rather I use it as an opportunity to say, how does it expand my view about Christianity? How does it help me with some of the questions I have about Christianity? And how does it help me to understand the historical critical context of how my sacred source was developed? And so again, Gail, I know I answer the question. You know, it's sort of long-winded in a response, but again, it's such a complex topic.
I'm glad that you brought up the distinction, because I, from what I'm hearing, it sounds like you have quite a few sort of high achieving, you know, driven clients who are perhaps more in that hard charging sort of frame of mind. And I know for me, you know, that was kind of my mode of operations, and I'm still working on that too. But I was in a similar place of, hey, you just have to keep going. You got to grind, you got to hustle, you got to do. And my business really was the catalyst for me to understand that that doesn't always work. Sometimes you have to actually really sit back and be in the flow of things. And that was a really, and ask for help. And not just ask for help from people, but ask for help from, you know, whatever it is, that greater source that you believe in. Right. And it's interesting, because whether it's business or relationships or life in general, there is going to come a time where you're going to need to have faith. And whether you believe in God or not, faith is part of I believe that faith is part of the human condition. I mean, at some point you have to take a leap.
Yeah,
of faith.
And I so agree with you. And I always say to people, your beliefs can be whatever they are. And I don't judge people for what their beliefs are. If they say they rub two rocks together and that is what gives them strength, I respect whatever that is. But here's the thing, and you just made me think about this, is whatever your sacred belief is, it better be something that you can really, really hold on to. Because when stuff happens, when there's sickness that comes up, you know, you get that horrible diagnosis, or somebody in your family gets that diagnosis, when there's trauma that occurs, when you're going through your own relationship stuff, when something happens on the the job. You know, you can be at your top level and then all of a sudden something happens that knocks you to the ground. In order for you not to stay on the ground, you better have something that you can sink your teeth into. And so that's why when I'm working with clients, I am really, really adamant about what's your sacred source. And these practices can't be something that you start one day and you think I'm going to have this issue the next day and it's everything is going to be fine. Like, you know, you have this huge issue the next day. You've got to like build a foundation, a relationship with that sacred source that helps you to get through the stuff. Because if you're just starting this relationship, you may not see how it's going to work to your advantage if something happens. And that's why you need to have supportive people in your life who can help you to stay true to what you believe your sacred source is, right? And to develop that relationship with that source, spend time with that source every day so that you get to distinguish between the sacred voice and your own voice and someone else's voice. And that's often hard to do if you've been out there by yourself for a long time, because people will say, well, how do I know what the right thing is for me? And that's why we go through a period of discernment to kind of see what's blocking you from your connection with source, because it's going to be so crucial every day. You know, I've been walking this faith journey for as long as I can remember. I mean, I was born into a faithful family, but even I have to have people that I go to and that I talk to and I say, can you help me? I'm trying to spiritually discern X, Y, and Z. Or can it, like in my belief system, can you just pray with me? Because no matter who we are, we're going to go through some difficult things in life as we're going after our businesses to raise them to the next level, or relationships or children or whatever it is. So there's this grounding that's very important. And for me, having the psychology part with knowing the human psyche and the conditions of that, along with my training as a pastor and understanding how sacred texts were put together and the dynamics of a church and religious practices.
What would you say are the top most important things that people need to consider when it comes to sort of stepping into this relationship with their sacred source and tapping into their inner wisdom to evolve and grow?
That's a really, really good question. And what I advise people to do is to really kind of stop and first of all, identify for yourself what your beliefs are. Do you believe in a sacred source? Do you not believe in a sacred source? Why or why not? You know, just kind of just ask yourself some questions, do some journaling around that. And then really just distinguish what is it that I believe. And then once you get a sense of what that is, and again, sometimes that takes help with trying to discern all of that. Think about how can you reimagine your sacred source? Okay. So if you think of your sacred source, a lot of times people think of their sacred source as the punishing, you know, source that's out to get them because they live in this place of guilt and shame. Well, how can you reimagine that source for your greater good and for the greater good of other people? And then I invite people to really commit to a daily practice. So that is often not easy because it requires that you get up pretty early in the morning. I think because morning is that nectar mm-hmm. hour. It's a great time for you to just sit with yourself. It's quiet time. It's a time for you to really go inward to kind of see what the sacred has for you for that day and for just your career or life as you're moving forward. And then think about how can you expand your concept of the sacred. And those are just some really basic sort of things that I lead people through. Some people are farther along in their practice than others. And so we do some different things, but those I think are the most critical things for really just thinking about how you'll start to tap into your inner divinity a little bit more.
And it's so interesting to me that you've taken these two different fields and merged them together. So what inspired you to create Pastology?
So it's really so funny because sometimes they're really not that different in many ways. Because I thought about for a long time, I fought pastoring because I always said church people are crazy. At least when people come to me, because when I was in divinity school and I would say, I don't want to pastor a church because they're crazy. I remember one of my supervising professors said, but you're a psychologist. I said, yes, but the difference is when people come to me for therapy, they already know they have some issues to deal with. When folks get in church, they think that everything is fine. They don't have to deal with these issues anymore. And that's really not true. It's just that the church is a place where people come for healing, just like they do when they come into my practice. And so because I've noticed so many similarities with it, and because I absolutely love helping people and going beyond the surface level to really see how people tick and what influences their behavior, it was really just the melting of two loves. And I really, for a long time, even after I developed this whole thinking around Pastology, I have really been thinking, how am I going to allow these two things to work on a larger scale? I don't want to just be a pastor over here to this group of people and a psychologist over here to this group of people. But how am I going to let my practice of helping people on a larger level, how am I going to merge those people? So I've just found a way of honoring my belief in the sacred and honoring my beliefs that we're all in this for the greater good and wanting to help other people, and came up with Pastology. And really, that's how Sacred Intelligence was also born, too, because taking the sacred and then what I used to do a lot of testing, IQ testing. And so what I would do is, kind of looking at the IQ and looking at emotional intelligence and all of those things. That's how the term Sacred Intelligence was born and Pastology.
And what positive shifts have you experienced, whether in your business, with your clients, or even the world, as a result of melting those two loves together?
So for a long time, I worked with teenagers, and I worked with them in an adjudicated system and then in a public high school. And I started realizing some things when I was working with them is that I needed to kind of move from working with them to working with women. Because a lot of issues that I saw coming up were, those issues were reflective of how those kids were relating to their parents and most often their moms or the healing that their mothers had missed out on. And so I shifted it and I still kept dealing with the psyche piece more than the spiritual piece. But then as I began to, as the sacred worked in my own life and was pulling me, because really it's a calling, it's a pulling. So I don't give myself complete credit for this. It was tapping into that inner wisdom of the sacred saying, no, you have to show the spiritual side. And so for me, I have seen the shift of broadening my platform and talking about the sacred more. And I've seen more people coming to me who are willing to talk about the wounds of religion. Because you see, most often when people get a personal development coach, they may talk about a little bit about their spiritual practices. They don't go into depth talking about their wounds of religion. I can be at a networking meeting and tell people that I work with folks around the wounds of religion, and they'll start to tell me their story. So it just shows that it's just more, it's more prominent than people know. And it isn't just about sexual abuse. It is really physical, emotional abuse. And the emotional abuse is really, really the most difficult part because it's hard to get shift the mindset. So I've been able to serve more people by incorporating both things. I've also been able to travel across the country and do more work around our sacred source. And I've traveled out of the country and really been able to tap into that as well with other people. So I've seen I've been able to reach more people by incorporating.
That's great. And hopefully you'll be able to reach more people through this interview as well. So before we wrap up, is there anything else that our listeners should know that we haven't yet covered?
Well, you know, I think I would invite the listeners to really visit my website and just look around to see if there's anything that resonates with them. But in particular, I have a sacred dwelling community that is designed to help people to deepen their relationship with the sacred and also to manifest their greatness or to manifest a better life and better relationships. And with that sacred dwelling community, it's a non-religious community, but it's one in which I tap into my sacred source and I deliver messages of inspiration to people, because it's hard sometimes, even if you're in church, it's hard just to get through the week without additional sacred practices, additional words of inspiration. So that community is designed to give words of inspiration, again, non-religious. There's also an opportunity in that community where I interview experts to kind of help us expand our sacred concept. And it's a wonderful way as a community to be able to come in and talk about those sacred practices and honor one another's sacred practices and ask questions about how you get through the day today. And so just to encourage people. So I would invite people to just to go and check that out and really to just engage in some sort of sacred practice on a daily basis.
Excellent. And how can people find out more about you and connect with you and in your work?
So they can go to sacredintelligence.com. And again, they can find more information about me and how to connect with me. But you can also email me at info@sacredintelligence.com.
Until next time, remember, be your best story and share your positive news now.
Thanks for listening to Business Innovators Radio. To hear all episodes featuring leading industry influencers and trendsetters, visit us online at businessinnovatorsradio.com today.